So if you were standing on the deck of a wooden ship in 1492, right? Like 800 leagues into a shortcut to Asia that definitely wasn't supposed to be this long.
You'd probably be looking for a really good reason to throw your captain overboard.
I mean, honestly, you'd be entirely justified. So today we are jumping into another exploration into the source material. We're looking at the original journals and reports of Christopher Columbus's first voyage.
Right, the ones compended by Fray Bartolomé de las Casas.
Exactly. And our mission here isn't to recount some dry textbook timeline. We want to get into the raw day-to-day grit, like the psychological high-wire act of a guy who was basically rewriting reality to keep his crew from panicking.
Yeah, it's really a masterclass in the necessary lie. I mean, Columbus knew that if the crew realized exactly how far they were from home, the fear would just turn into a mutiny.
Right.
So he ran this double counting system. He'd calculate the actual true distance in his private journal.
But then he'd tell the crew something completely different, right?
Exactly. He'd publicly announce a much shorter distance to the sailors.
Wait, how do you even pull that off, though? I mean, didn't the other officers notice the math wasn't adding up? It feels less like genius leadership and more like, well, straight up gaslighting.
Oh, it was absolutely gaslighting. He was just exploiting their desperation. He'd shave off just enough leagues to keep them in their mental safety zone. But, you know, by mid-September, nature itself started making him look like a liar.
Right, the Sargasso Sea.
Yeah, they hit these massive manadas, just meadows of green grass floating in the middle of the ocean. And they were seeing birds, too, like the Rabo de Junco.
And if you're a sailor, grass and birds mean land is right there, like inches away.
Exactly. But they kept sailing for days, and the water just stayed deep. It was basically psychological torture, just false hope day after day.
And then it gets even weirder, right? Because the journals mention this wonderful branch of fire falling from the sky on September 15th.
Fireball, yeah.
Like, if I'm on that ship and I see a giant fireball hit the water, I'm 100% convinced we've reached the edge of the world. And then the compasses start northing.
That is the moment the crew truly lost it. I mean, what was actually happening was magnetic variation. As you move west, the magnetic North Pole and the actual North Star don't perfectly align anymore.
Oh, wow. So the one thing they thought was constant was just failing.
Right. It was like your GPS suddenly telling you that north is now east. So Columbus had to explain it away by claiming the North Star itself was moving.
Wait, he blamed the star, not his instruments.
Yeah, he had to convince the crew that the literal laws of physics were changing, just to keep them from turning the ships around.
So when they finally hit Guanahani on October 12th, it's not just, you know, a grand discovery. It's pure relief from the brink of madness.
Oh, totally. And the text specifically describes the Lucayan people as, you know, being painted, having beautiful bodies, and completely lacking iron. It's just this ultimate clash of worlds.
Yeah, that detail you mentioned before about the swords is just haunting.
It really is.
Yeah.
Columbus shows the Lucayan people a sword, and because they have absolutely no concept of weapons designed like that, they literally grab it by the blade.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they cut their hands because they just don't understand what a sharp edge is out of pure ignorance of the metal.
It's such a tragic metaphor, isn't it? They're seeing a tool, and Columbus is seeing a weapon. I mean, the text mentions his two main goals are conversion to Christianity and finding gold, right?
Right, the relentless search for gold.
So he praises their limitless generosity in one breath, but in the very next paragraph, he's calculating how easily they could be commanded with just 50 men. He isn't seeing a new culture. He's seeing a resource.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's because his internal map was already locked. As they island hopped through Cuba and Hispaniola, he was completely obsessed with finding Cipango.
Japan, right.
Yeah.
And the Great Khan's territory.
Yep. So when he heard rumors of the Caniba or man-eaters, he didn't think he was discovering a new ethnic group. He thought he was hearing about the dog-faced monsters from the travel myths he'd read as a kid.
So he was basically shoving a brand new world into a very old, very rigid box.
Yeah, and even when things went totally sideways, he refused to change the box.
Like the whole Christmas disaster on December 25th.
Oh, the Santa Maria sinking.
Yeah. Because a master decides to let a mozo, like a literal cabin boy, take the helm while the crew sleeps. It's just this ridiculous, entirely preventable human error.
But Columbus doesn't see it as a failure. He literally spins it as divine providence.
Wait, he thought God wanted him to crash his ship.
Yes. He uses the shipwreck as a sign from God that they should build the first fort, La Navidad, using the ship's own remains. I mean, it's the ultimate spin doctoring.
Wow.
Yeah, he died still insisting he was in Asia, despite all the physical evidence.
It really makes you wonder about the power of certainty. I mean, on the journey back, they face this terrifying storm. The crew is taking rumorias, like these vows of pilgrimage, just praying to survive so they don't get captured in the Portuguese-controlled Azores.
It was an absolute nightmare of voyage back.
Right. And during that storm, Columbus is so scared they'll die that he writes his discoveries on a parchment, seals it in a barrel, and just tosses it into the sea.
Yay.
Because he was terrified his truth would be lost.
But here's the crazy part. If that barrel had been the only thing we ever found from him, history would literally record a man who reached the East.
Oh, wow.
We'd just be reading a total fantasy.
Which leaves us with a pretty heavy thought to wrap up this exploration. Like, what happens when your absolute certainty is actually your greatest blind spot?
That is the big question.
Yeah, like if you're so sure you know where you're going, would you even notice if you bumped into an entire continent that wasn't on your map? Something to mull over next time you're sure you've got it all figured out? Follow the horizon, but, you know, maybe check your map for some old ghosts first.